ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യം അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ടോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Dharini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരദസ് അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയദയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കൊണിതാതൃദാനനേന്ദോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യത്കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So last Sunday we were discussing about Parikshit Maharaj. When he came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what was Parikshit's going through Parikshit's mind? പരീക്ഷ പരീക്ഷിത് സൈസ് രാജവാച അതോ വിഹായ മമും ച ലോകം ദെൻ പരീക്ഷിത് സ്പോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് കാൻഡോ യു വിൽ സീ ദെയർ ഇൻ ദി ലാസ്റ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ 19th ചാപ്റ്റർ പരീക്ഷിത് ടോക്സ് അബൌട്ട് ദെയർ ദാറ്റ് അതോ വിഹായ ച മമും ച ലോകം ദാറ്റ് പരീക്ഷിത് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ടൈം ഹാസ് കം ടു ഗീവ് അപ്പ് ദിസ് കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേൾഡ് കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേൾഡ് It's the most critical time in life, isn't it? When one has to break away from here, once for all. So, he came and sat down, and at the very end of the Bhagavadam, you will see Parikshit Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami, says to Parikshit that, Tvam tu rajan marishyedi pashubuddhim imam jahi. This is the 12th chapter, canto, 5th chapter. If you look, you will see there, last minute the instructions from Sukadev Goswami going to Parikshit, the last minute instructions there. Up to this time he spoke about various things, Krishna's incarnations, about Krishna's pastimes and various other topics, and great devotees, their realizations. All these things were spoken up to this point, up to the this last minute at the 12th canto till the 5th chapter. And 6 days have gone in that way, and almost the 7th day is also coming to a close. So at this point, Parikshit, if you look at Sukadeva Goswami's words to Parikshit, he says to him, he's not talking any more stories and pastime. He's saying to him, Tvantu Rajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhim Imam Jahi, that my dear king, please give up this animal mentality. This is Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami calls it as an animal who thinks that I'm going to die. That is Sukadeva Goswami's conclusion on the, as far as this body is concerned. It is called Pashubuddhi. Pashu means animals. Animals think like that. I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. That's the only thought goes through the animals. Fear all the time inside. Fear of material existence at any time. Animals fear that they're going to be killed. That's why they're constantly defending all the time. isn't it? Therefore, it is said that this fear should go from inside. Pashubuddhim imam jahi. That give up this understanding that Tontu Rajan, my dear king, Marishyedi, that I am going to die. Pashubuddhim imam jahi. He says to Parikshit. And after that is the Brahmavadesham. Brahmavadesham means elevating Parikshit Maharaj to that status what he was in. And that is when Aham Brahma Paramdama Brahmaham Paramambadam Evam Samyukshan Nathaya. He says, isn't it? Samyukshan. Right at this moment, the realization must happen to Parikshit. There is no more time left. Right now, at this point in time, the realization must happen to Parikshit. As Sukadeva Goswami wanted, the same thing happened to Parikshit at that point. That is when he says, Dosmi Anagrahi Dosmi. It comes from Parikshit's mouth at that time. So, he says to him that this ajnanam, ajnanam means ignorance, that I am going to die, give it up, he says to him. Because the problem is, there is an intermediary period in between. When is that? That is that after all this studying Shastram, practicing all these austerities and penances, and performing sadhana and everything, still there is a fear inside, the death is going to come. The death is going to come. That doesn't leave easily. That does not leave easily. Sometimes, after executing all the spiritual practices, one will even wonder that even the spiritual experience is also a waste of time, because death is waiting at the doorstep. The fear of death is one thing. All other realizations is another thing. So, while living in this world, even engaged in spiritual life, this happens to everybody. This happens to everybody. That at some point in time, we'll start thinking, all this was a, what has happened now, the death is still coming, going to come. So, all the yoga practices, meditation, and all other sadhana, and still one will think, I will get sick at the end. Diseases will come, and the death will come. And it is at that point, those who are engaged in the spiritual life gets frightened. It is at that point, those who are engaged in the spiritual life gets frightened. At that point, when the death is going to come. Got everything, wonderful things in spiritual life, practiced it very seriously, and had got some realizations also about the truth. But at the right moment, when you have to leave the body, this fear will come very strongly. So, the fear of death is always there. And the disease will also come. Disease will also come. What will I do then? What will you do then? That's the question. So, for some time, people who are engaged in yoga practices, for example, Ashtanga Yoga, all the samadhi, all the asanas and pranayama and all kinds of things, they practice this and they think that they can live for a long time in a healthy body. That's their goal. For a very long time, they can live in a healthy body. But for them also, there is death at the end, waiting for them, isn't it? This is why in Kathopanishad you will see, when Nachiketa went to see Yama Dharma Raja, Yama was offering him various bribery, various things he was offering him. Many palaces and many servant maids, and many chariots, many gold, lot of gold, and so many things were offered to Nachiketas, and told Nachiketas that, please don't ask me about this thing called death. Don't talk to me about that. Everything else I can offer it to you. He says there, so Nachiketas' answer was, whatever you give it to me, it's all limited at the end, isn't it? At all limited at the end. Abhis sarvam jividam alpameva. That sarvam jividam alpameva. What is the point in giving me all the other material opulences? Ultimately, life is limited, isn't it? He asked Yamaraja. Nachiketas asked this question. In Kathopanishad, you will see there this discussion between Nachiketas and Yama. So, Nachiketas says to Yama, what is the use? You are making so much so much opulences and so much. Even a long lifespan he offered. But Nachiketa says to Yama, but at the end I have to die, isn't it? He says. So Yama is not answering, avoiding that question. Yama did not want to discuss his time. So whatever you are going to me, abhisarvam jeevitam alpameva. So there is no use to say that I have got a long span of life. Ultimately, we have to die. Ultimately, we have to die. Sickness will come. Illness will come. A lot of difficulties will come for this body. How to escape from this? This is the question. So, in these 13 chapter, Krishna is talking to Uddhava. Uddhava, if you are still thinking of keeping this body going happily in this world, you can forget that. That will not happen. That will not happen. The point Krishna is making is this, that as long as you give your attention to the material body, and anyone who has identification with the body, he will be frightened. He will be frightened in this world. And their fear is always there. Will I get sick? Will I get, will death will happen to me? Once it so happened, a Hatha Yogi, who was a very famous Hatha Yogi, he naturally, Hatha Yogis and all the other people who are practicing this yoga system, they will encourage people in such a way that they can remain in this world in a healthy way, isn't it? In a healthy life they can maintain. For example, through pranayamam for asanam, all these things are directed towards that. But at one point, this Hatha Yogi, who was also teaching Hatha Yogam, he was saying like this, he said, my fear is now that will it happen to me at the time of before dying. He was living a healthy life, but there is no guarantee that disease won't come. At the time of death, some reason will be there, something will happen, and some illness or disease can come and put one in a difficult situation. So his fear was that, I have given advice to people all my life that if you practice Hatha Yoga, you won't get sick, you won't get you won't experience any illness, and you can free yourself from all diseases. But I am myself now thinking, will it happen to me? So this is how strongly we are controlled by the material nature. So the intelligent thing is to accept that death will come and disease will come. They are not going to leave us. They are always behind us. Krishna's point is this, that instead of wasting time to sustain this body in this world, which is only a temporary arrangement, that if I, like the Hatha Yogi said, if it happens to me, people will think that all I was teaching them was all rubbish. Or in other words, I was lying at them, that you won't get sick. I was telling them I'm myself getting sick at the time of death. So what's the point? That fear had come to him because it was disturbing here, the false ego inside. So the first thing Krishna is saying is that to know that we are not this body. We are not this body, and the body does not belong to us. And Krishna talks about a state where we don't have this material body, or in our Surubhasthiti. Surubhasthiti means in our pure identity as the spirit soul. That's what Krishna is saying here. That is why he mentioned there in that verse, if you look into Bhagavadam, in the 13th chapter, Krishna says, Ahamityanyadha buddhi pramattasya yadahati ulsarpati rajoghoram tato vaigarigam mana. Krishna is saying that rajoghoram, that is the verse number 9. Ahamityanyadha buddhi, the moment we fall from our swarupam, which is spirit soul, as the soul, immediately all these problems have started along with that. There is no escape route from there. No matter who it is. He may be any great personality in this world, doesn't matter. Even great spiritual personalities, they also come to the same state at the end. Ahamityanyadha buddhi pramattasya yadahati ulsarpati rajoghoram tato vaigarigam mana. Krishna is saying that as soon as you lost your identity as the soul, immediately the problems have started. From that very point, all the problems have begun. And from then on, externally you may present so many things to others, that I'm not this body, I'm not. But inside, if that realization hasn't come, at the time of death, all this we have to go through. Illnesses and eventually the death. That is what the point Krishna is stressing here. Because this experience that I am existing, my own awareness is not there in the body, isn't it?
It is experienced inside. Soul is experiencing that. My existence, of my existence, always I am identifying with the body. That's another thing. That is a misunderstanding. But the correct understanding is that this awareness I am existing is not coming from the body. It's coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. Because the fact is this, that suppose we got sick and suppose the leg has to be amputated or hand has to be amputated. We agree for that, isn't it? We agree. If I can survive, even if I lose my hand or leg, I'm willing to go along with that. Why is that? Reason for that is in my inside I know that I'm not this body. That's why I'm accepting that. I'm willing to lose a part of my hand or part of my leg or any part of the body if I'm going to survive. So who is this I am I'm talking about, thinking about the survival? It is not the body, definitely not. Because if it was the body, I should be protecting the body. But I'm willing to make a compromise there, that I'm willing to sacrifice a part of my body for my own existence. And even after losing a part of the body, but still I say, I am there. I don't come down, do I? 100% I'm still there. I'm still existing. That is what Krishna says here, that without this body, we are experiencing in the dream state. Without the material body, you are still experiencing in the dream state. And when you go to the deep sleep, nothing has happened. We are not having the body. We don't have the mind. We are still there. I'm still there. So all these things is pointing out only one thing, that there is something seriously wrong with all of us. Isn't it? That's what it means. That why are we put into this situation, that we have to constantly think through the body, through the mind, through the intelligence, through the ego, and falsely identify with this and do all the transactions in this world, and eventually we have to suffer from this. Krishna is saying, Ahamiti Anyada Buddhi. That is the Anyada Buddhi. Anyada Buddhi means that me, in my true identity as the soul, I have lost that awareness, and I am now aware that I am existing in the form of the body, the mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, everything. So this separation of me from all these things is called Hamsavidya. Is Hamsavidya. So how do we separate that? That is what Krishna is going to talk about now on. That Krishna is very clear on this one point, that unless we accept this very basic in spiritual life, mind, body, intelligence, senses, ego, they belong to Prakriti. They are Prakriti. They are material nature. We, the soul, is Purusha, Krishna's part and parcel. So this difference has to be driven inside very strongly. That's the point. That unless we, it has to be drilled inside all the time, they are two separate things. It's all mixed up at the moment, isn't it? We have a very, very slight awareness. People say there's a thing called a soul, but I'm this body. This is our permanent realization at the moment, isn't it? Sukadeva Goswami, when he spoke to Parikshit, what did he say? Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi it is. Animals' minds. In other words, he's calling us indirectly, all animals welcome. That's what he's saying to us. All animals, there's no difference. Animals think like that. Great sages, great personality. If you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find, beginning with Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami, Rishabhadev, and Jadabharata, and then if you look at Rudrasura, Ambarish Maharaj, and all the Dattatreya Maharshi, so many personalities, they moved away from this gross body. While living in that body, Dehastobi na Dehasta. Even while living in this body, they were not in the body. This is the state Krishna is saying, that in this verse you will see here, that in that realized state, Ajnani, Jnani, all these things don't exist. Now we say there is a Jnani, he is an Ajnani. We address people in that way. Why is that? Because we feel that as soon as you sleep, there is no Jnani, there is no Ajnani. Isn't it? Ajnanam and Jnanam is only in the Jagrat state. You can refer to somebody. Is it not? Just like you identify with some designation in this world only in the Jagrat state. Only in the vacant state you identify, I am so-and-so, I live in so-and-so, such-and-such a place, I work at such-and-such a place, or I am the husband, or I am the wife, or I am the son of so-and-so, I belong to this family. This is only in relationship with Jagrat state. Only in relationship with Jagrat state. only in relationship with Jagrat state. As soon as we move on to the dream state or deep sleep, in deep sleep there is neither body, there is neither mind existing. We are not even aware of its existence. To show it to us that every single day Krishna is giving this experience to us, to think about it. That Krishna is saying, what statement Krishna has made here is all justified by showing us that every single day this experience comes to us. But still, as soon as we come to Jagrat vacant state, we forget all that. I had a good sleep, we say, but then in the Jagrat state, our activities go around in the state of ignorance. In state of ignorance. So, actually, Krishna says here that realized souls, after they have realized the truth, that they themselves laugh at it. They themselves laugh at it. Why? Why do they laugh? They laugh because that they are thinking that all my life I have been wasting this, thinking that I am the body. But when they came to identify what they are, real realization came to them that they were not this body. They were thinking what a joke the whole thing was about. Because it is not something that happens through effort alone. One's own effort is not the cause behind it. That the person has realized it at some point. The reason is this, that this realization is in everybody existing there already. What you are realizing is not something from outside. It's not coming from outside. That the realized soul says that actually you are only pretending now. That you are not this body. You are only pretending like that. That you are thinking that you can keep this pretension for some time. That I am this body. But afterwards, when the body drops away, the real soul inside, when the identification starts with the soul, ultimately you have to drop it. This identification with the body, you have to drop it. You have no choice there. So somehow or the other, at this point in time, we identify with the body so strongly that we start thinking that this is me. And then we are thinking, oh, there is another world, a spiritual world, where I will go, I'll have another body. Again, we are thinking like that. But Krishna is saying here, ahami tanyada buddhi, the drop, fall down has started the moment you fall onto this identification with the body. So, that is why in Upanishad Bhashyam it says here, na ulpadyam, na ajyam, na vikaryam, na samskaryam, nitya siddhatval. That is the statement on this. That means that Nitya Siddhatva means that it is permanently available with us. What? The soul. Soul is permanently available. It's already there inside. And it cannot be, you cannot manufacture it, you cannot attain it, you can't change it, you can't purify it. Nothing. The soul exists in everyone eternally. It is existing eternally inside. Only thing is, our attention is not on the soul, it's on the body. It's on the body. That is where the whole problem is. Problem, we are thinking that many people in the spiritual life, they have this misunderstanding that I'll perform sadhana for so many years, or I'm making some progress in spiritual life. And after a while, many 10, 15, 20 years, something else happens in life. And they start thinking that all that I have done, why am I not feeling like I'm still feeling I'm this body? Because it's a lot of misunderstanding there, that he has been thinking that something is going to come. That means through your effort, it's going to happen. This is the misunderstanding in spiritual life. So there is nothing going to happen with the effort. It's a realization it is. It's not something going to come from outside. It's already there inside everyone. The spiritual identity is already existing and nothing can be done. That's why it's called Nitya Siddhatvad. It is permanently available with us, all of us, as in the human body, particularly in the human society. This is permanently available to them. It's only a question of acceptance of that. That is where all the problem is, isn't it? The problem of accepting, in spite of the fact, Bhagavad Gita is telling us, Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, all the Vedic literature is telling us, still we don't want to accept that I'm not this body. We don't accept that. We are still talking to people, yes, but our attention on the body is so strong, as soon as we get sick, immediately we run around the whole world, the best treatment what we can get, somehow or the other, if I can save this body. Why is that? Because that realization hasn't come yet. Realization has come. Because he is thinking that I'll execute my spiritual life for so many years. I only just started now a few years ago. Maybe I got a long life to live. And maybe at the end of the day, when I finish all my life in this world, I'll go back to the spiritual world. They only want the spiritual world after death. Only after death they want to be in the spiritual world, not before than that. So Krishna is saying here, it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. After death I'll go to the spiritual world. Till then I'll be happy in my life here. It is not like that. From the examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see that whether it was Rishabhadev, whether it was Dattatreya Maharshi, Jadabharata, or Sukadeva Goswami, they all, while living here, they were outside the body. That's why it said here, Ahamit anyada buddhi pramattase edahadi ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarigam mana. That point is making is this, that if freedom from the body, freedom from the senses, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, all these things has to happen here now before death comes for the body. Before death comes for the body. So, when the attention by the instructions from the spiritual master, if one's attention falls onto the soul somehow, and constantly reflecting on this point of realization of the truth, eventually he will realize that it is here right now. Right now it will happen. That is that word, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, when evam samichan, he says, the word used is samichan. Evam samichan adhaya atmanyadhaya nishkale. If you look into the 12th canto, you will see in chapter 5, when Parikshit Maharaj was realizing these things, he says there that evam samichannathaya yes, 11 verse 11. There's only 13 verses in the 12th canto. There's only 13 verses. If you look into the 11th verse in the 12th canto, chapter 5, he says here, Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, Brahma Aham Paramam Padam, Evam Samichan Alpanam Atmanyadhaya Nishkale. Then, Atmanyadhaya Nishkale, Dashandam Dakshagam Padi, Lelihanam Vishanale, Nadrakshasi Shariramja Vishwamja Pradakalpana. He says here that I have realized that I'm not this. What I am, I was told, or I thought what I was. That at the moment when he realized that I am something different than this body, Parikshit is saying this. Evam samichan Almaya Almanyadhaya Nishkale. Evam samichan. That samichan is the word what he used here. He says that samichana means what you have lost something at that moment you have regained. Samichana means that. You have lost something, you have regained it back. Similarly, our proper identity as the soul, we have lost it and we got it back. That is that word samichana. So, when Parikshit Maharaj is saying to Sudeva Goswami, there, if you look in that verses, he will say here that evam samichan atmanam atmanyadhaya nishkale, that Parikshit later on will come confirm this, that Sudeva Goswami also says to Parikshit, don't look for anything, get it back what you have lost. That's how he puts it to him. What you have lost, get it back again. So that realization that I am the soul is something what we have lost it. It's not that I packed it and kept it in a box and came here and I go and pick it up later. It is a consciousness. It's an awareness inside. That awareness is this, that I am that. I am that, the truth. I am the soul. That awareness, I have lost it and now identified with the body. So he says, evam samikshan atmaya atmanyadaya nishkale. So just like, suppose you had something valuable with you, a gold chain or some necklace or something like that. You have lost it and suddenly you got it back. Suddenly you feel a happiness from that, isn't it? Oh, I got it back, I didn't lose it. Exactly the same way, he says, that what you have lost something, you got it back. And the happiness from that, this is a lot more than that, getting back a necklace or a chain or anything. But it is only in the same way it happens with the self-realization also. Self-realization is not something offered to us by somebody. It's only realizing it. That's why it's called self-realization. That it is only a question of realizing what we are, what is inside, what exactly we are. At the moment, this misunderstanding with the body. That's why it is said here, Nityobalabdham. What does Nityobalabdham means? Permanently available to us. This is a big difference. Big difference with the material topics. Material topics, you have to study, you have to understand, then you have to work, then you have to earn. Spiritual life is not like that. Nityobalabdham. It's a question of acceptance, that's all. That moment we accept it, then you got it. If you're not accepted, you will never get it. So that's how it is. Spiritual life is like that. That Nityobalabdham, in the fifth canto, if you look, when Rishabhadev's last words to Bharat Maharaj and all the other devotees, other children who were present there, he instructed them, isn't it? Nayam deho deha bhajan riloke. The famous instructions from Rishabhadev. There he uses this word Nityobalabdham. Nityobalabdham means it is permanently available. It's not to come from anywhere outside. It's a question of shifting this attention from this to that, from the body to the soul. So, it's always available due to for a long period of ashraddha. Ashraddha means lack of shraddha. Shraddha means what? Shraddha means shastrasya guru vakyasya satya buddhyavadharana sa shraddha. That is shraddha. Shraddha is actually exactly not attention. In English, when you translate, you say attention. It's not purely attention, the word. What actually it means is shastrasya. Your complete faith in Krishna's word, shastram. Shastrasya. Guru vakyasya. Also the words of the spiritual master. In all these things, particularly in the shastram and guru vakyam, or the words of the spiritual master, satya buddhyavadharana, that you are completely convinced that is the truth. There is no other truth in this world of maya. So if that realization has come, that is called shraddha. That is shraddha. And one who has no shraddha, there is no possibility of self-realization. So here it says here, that due to ashraddha, for lack of that shraddha in the shastram, in the shastram, Krishna's words, spiritual master's words, this has happened. Now we have given attention to it and we have got it. We have given attention to it, you got it. So we also talked about this before, that the presence of the soul, how does one experience? In the mind, Prahlad Maharaj talked about this, isn't it? That a lot of chittavrittis are happening, one after the other. One thought comes, it goes away. Another thought comes. The gap in between from one thought to another thought, Krishna comes. The soul comes there. Krishna's soul. The soul comes out and makes us aware. That is what is shifting our thought, our attention from one thought to another thought. How does chittavritti happens inside? We were discussing this before, if you remember. That the thought process, continuously thoughts are coming through in the mind, isn't it? Whole day when we are awake, all sorts of thoughts comes through. And we wonder, how come that I was thinking about something, suddenly my attention has gone to something else. Immediately we start thinking, what has happened now? How did this change happen? That what has made me my attention to shift from one thing to another? So this is called a chittavritti, isn't it? Chittavritti means these thoughts continuous flow. So while shifting from one thought to another thought, in between Krishna comes. Krishna comes in between. We are not aware of that because our mind is all absorbed in the senses and the mind. But Shastram is telling us very clearly that in between two chittavrittis that he appears, and and that is all the time. In all thoughts it's available. And we, on the other hand, On the other hand, we are in a very particular plane. We are living in this world, in a particular state, isn't it? What is that state? The state of ignorance. And that, what's that state? State identification with the body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the ego. This is one plane we are operating from. In that plane, when you are situated, what do? We get all the time affected by everything what's going on around us. We cry, we laugh, we smile, we chat, we joke, all sorts of things happening. In the middle, we feel pride about it, and sometimes we act with false ego. And then we desire many things, lust, all kinds of envy, and all anger and hate. All these things are happening in this plane in which we are at the moment. That means the plane of the body, the mind, the intelligence, false ego, senses and such that. And it is in this state that we are developing attachment to others, we hating others, all these things are happening. Once all these things are removed from inside, then we can see that vastu. Vastu means the soul inside in its pure form, its manifestation there. That, in other words, that when we are seeing that vastu or that object in that way, that all, once we have seen that object, all these things will go. It will drop off. Which one? All these various activities in relationship with mind, intelligence and everything will leave us. So, therefore, it is said, if you look into Karanamrtam, Krishna Karanamrtam, you will see a verse there. Vilumangalam talks about this. Anganam Anganam Andare Madhavam. Two gopis in middle Krishna. There is a verse in the Krishna Karanamrtam. The principle what behind that is this. Chilumangalam is trying to tell us. Anganam Anganam Andare Madhavam. That when the Krishna and gopis were, actually this is coming from Rasa Dance. Rasa Dance is a big topic. It is not something we read, Krishna had a great time. This is not Rasa Dance. That is foolishness, complete ignorance. People read all these things in the Bhagavatam because they don't understand what is written in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what Sukadeva Goswami was explaining through Rasa Dance, that we misunderstand many, many things and we may take it for granted that gopis are lusting for Krishna and Krishna was a lot of lust for gopis and they had a great time together. And then we think, we understood everything about Rasa Dance. If you take the verses from Rasa Dance, if you look at each and every verse, you will see the greatest Krishna consciousness philosophy is coming through that. That one has to spend time. So that message from Rasa Dance, Vilumangalam has taken and put it in the Karanamrtam. Anganam Anganam Andare Madhavam. That between two gopis, Krishna comes. Just like between two Chitavrutis, Krishna comes. Between two Chitavrutis, Krishna comes. That between every emotions, Avigari Sarva Vigara Vyatha, that he says here, that he is a witness. He is a witness of everything what is happening. And give attention to that witness. We keep saying that super soul is witnessing everything, isn't it? How is he witnessing? His witnessing is that action which he does between two thought waves. Between two thought waves, he comes in and witnesses and goes back again. So that's why it is important to know this, that Prahlada Maharaj explained this. If you look into seventh canto, you will see all those verses are there. We don't read those verses. When it comes to soul and everything, we leave it. We are interested in what Hiranyakashipu acted with Prahlada and what happened to Prahlada when Hiranyakashipu beat him up or threw him from the hill or the serpents beaten him. These are what we are interested, isn't it? And still Prahlada survived. I am also covered and protected. I am also a devotee like Prahlada, so I will be protected from everything else. This is how we understand Prahlada's story, isn't it? But when it comes to the truth, what Prahlada has spoken in the seventh canto, if you start looking, very clearly he explains there that the soul has 12 characteristics. Body has 12 characteristics. All he has explained there. And he also says there that between these two thought waves, how Krishna comes. And that is the witness who comes in. Super soul's presence there at that time. As a witness he comes in. And when we give attention to that, when Krishna's coming in and interfering between our two thought waves, that is called Hamsavidya. That's called Hamsavidya. That means milk and the water, when they are mixed up, that separating between milk and water is Hamsavidya.
So, give attention to that, Krishna says to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava, give attention to that. That is what you will see in the next verse. There he says there, if you look into the verse 13, Krishna says, Apramato aniyunjida manomayarpayan shanehi anirvinno yadha kalam jidashwaso jidasanaha. Krishna says, Apramato aniyunjida manomayarpayan shanehi anirvinno yadha kalam jidashwaso jidasanaha. Edavan yogama dishto machishe sanagadibi sarvado manamakrishya mayadhaveshyade yathaham. Then Krishna says there, apramatto aniyunjita, that without pramadam. In one word, Krishna has told what he has to say. We are thinking, what is this pramadam, isn't it? Pramadam is what? Pramadam is this, to think that, to think false identity. False identity is pramadam. That means Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, give up this, don't fall into this chittavritti. It is chittavritti that is taking us from the spiritual identity to the material bodily identity. Isn't it? The moment, if the soul, if we are constantly steady in our consciousness on the soul, bodily identification won't come. That's what he said in the previous, Ahamityanyada Buddhi. So, if the Ahamityanyada Buddhi should not happen first, he says there, apramatto. Because with Ahamityanyada Buddhi, he also used the word pramattase yadahridi. That is pramattam. Pramatta means that, that mithya buddhi or false intelligence or lost intelligence that is lost, that is already came in inside. Once that has happened, then it is not possible to see Krishna there anymore. So here he is saying here, after saying that in that verse, Ahamityanyada buddhi pramatta sedahridi, here he says, apramatto aniyunjida. That means, if you are having that pramadam or pramatam inside, then it's not possible. So Krishna says apramato, without pramatam, without, and that is what he is saying here, that apramato aniyunjida, is going to talk this serious matter now. Krishna is going to say to Uddhava that in the beginning of Ekadasha Skandam, we mentioned this before, isn't it? That this is a topic in the on the highest levels of spiritual life, on the very higher levels of spiritual life. So, generally, you can I can tell you the example is this, that the if you take the school children from the school and put them in the PhD classes, what will happen? They will not understand anything, isn't it? It will be difficult for them to understand anything. Or, if they are hearing something from the class, they will say, we don't understand anything. That will be there. Answer. So there's no possibility for them to know that. So you can say this, that what Krishna is talking about now is very much similar to that situation. Then everybody may not understand this, what Krishna is saying, unless every day if you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam and you are spending enough time on Bhagavatam. Otherwise it is difficult what Krishna is saying to understand here. So spiritual education is not like school education. Spiritual education is not like school education. There is a gulf of a difference between the two. What is the difference between spiritual education and school education? The difference is this. this knowledge, what we are seeking, is already inside. Whereas in the spiritual school education, even if temporarily, if you have not temporarily understood, it will go there and stay there in the inside. It will go and stay there inside. Even if you could not capture that with the mind, in the form of a seed, it will stay inside. In the form of a seed, it will stay inside. And when it is necessary, it will come out. Whereas in the school education, that's the reason why you're saying here, that it is only because of that we are able to sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. If it was all unknown entity, you won't sit here and listen to it.
The reason why we are able to sit and listen to Bhagavatam is because the substance what we are talking about is inside us. It's already there inside. It's not going to come from anywhere else, not from outside. That's why if you look into Kathopanishad, they will say, Shravanayavi Bahubir Tena Labhyaha. Then some people, even after they have heard, they may not get it. And some people, and then Asharival Pashadi Kashidenam, isn't it? It's the most amazing thing, this thing called the soul. Why is it so amazing? Because it's already there inside us, and which we are searching very vigorously. Very vigorously. In a school education, if it was not inside, the soul wasn't inside, if it was to come from outside somewhere, like in the school education, then if you don't understand it, you will get up and walk away from here. You won't sit here to listen about that. Because you will think that, oh, it's not available here, somewhere else I have to go and look for it. You will think like that. But the fact that one is willing to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam is structured in that way to bring us to this understanding that the thing what you are searching for is already inside us, each and every person. That the soul inside is very active, and from him the awareness is coming to us, that is existence of the soul. That if a thing situation happens, that if we get up and walk out from here, that prarabdham won't allow us to sit here. That is called prarabdham. Prarabdham is that thing that when we want to listen to hear Bhagavatam, that some other thoughts are coming and it is pulling us in another direction. If the prarabdham is too strong, then you won't be able to sit here and to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmavidya or the knowledge of the self is not possible to hear. That is where it is the words they used is there is anyabhinivesham. Anyabhinivesham means that abhinivesham means an attachment to something which is not real, and that will close all the holes inside. You may be listening, but the mind will go somewhere else. Mind will go somewhere else. You won't be able to hear that. You will notice this, that these four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras, they have been instructed on the transcendental knowledge. Krishna instructs them in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva also instructs them as Dakshinamurti. There is another stage where Lord Shiva instructs the four Kumaras about this transcendental knowledge. And remember, all of them are realized souls. All of them were realized souls. So why they were instructed? We'll come to that later. Why they were instructed? It is interesting to know that, because self-realization happens and these questions come from these great souls, particularly the four Kumaras. They are asking, all four of them are realized soul. While they took birth, they were the first living entities to take birth. They were complete in perfection. They were yogis. And therefore, all the questions they are asking is also of a similar nature. And the questions are also in the same level. That is what we saw there. Sanagadeya Uju. Remember, Gunesho Vishade Chedu Gunas Chedasija Prabho Katha Anyunya Samtyago Mumuksho Aditirsho. Then, he says here, Krishna is saying, it is saying here, that they are asking Lord Brahma. This was their question, isn't it? Their questions to Lord Brahma was like this. Guneshu avishade chedu gunas chedasija prabho katham anyunya samtyago mumuksho adititirshoho. That means that raga dvesham, what has developed in one's mind, enters into sense objects. And sense object comes to the mind in the form of vasanas. They leave vasanas inside and they go. The sense enjoyment, they leave vasanas inside and they go. And the mind, because of attachment to sense objects, they go after the sense objects. And one who wants to transcend them, how he will break away from this relationship between the chittam inside, that means the vasana shariram, that is what it is called. Chittam is called vasana shariram. So the vasanas inside and the sense objects, how can one break that connection? That was that question. We discussed that last Sunday also. Guneshu avishade cheto gunas chedasi cha prabho kadham anyunya samtyago mumuksho adititirshoho. Most difficult thing. Even to perceive and understand that question itself, you require some subtle way of looking at it. A subtle vision is necessary, isn't it? Not on a theoretical level. We have to know this. that constantly in our life, what we are doing is all the senses are active, isn't it? The Jagrat state means what? All senses of knowledge are active. To some extent, senses of action also, isn't it? If you are doing something, both are active. Senses of knowledge and senses of action are both active. But if you are, say you are not doing anything, you are just sitting in one place, but senses of knowledge are still active. Either you are meditating on some sense gratification or some of the senses are busy with something in this. So senses are always in touch with the sense objects. Senses are always in touch with the sense objects. So in this particular situation, if somebody says to us, break this connection between the senses and the sense objects, it is a very difficult thing. How to do that? We'll ask, how do you do that? We'll ask that question, isn't it? So, let's understand the question properly. Question is very important. It is a very, very subtle level, this question, because most of us, because we're not even conscious that our life is nothing but sense enjoyment, isn't it? For a person who is absorbed in the body, his life is sense enjoyment, nothing else. We are thinking sense enjoyment is if I break four regulative principles, I am not enjoying senses. This is how we misunderstand. That's not like that. Actually, as long as you have a material body, as long as you have senses, and as long as you are an identifying creation with the body, you are enjoying the senses. It has to be understood that way. And as long as we are enjoying senses, this problem is there. Then we will ask this question exactly like what Kali asked to Krishna, isn't it? Kali asked to Krishna, you have put this poison inside my body and you are telling me don't poison any place here. It is you who have done this, I am helpless about that, he says to Krishna. The same way, we also have the same thing to say to Krishna, that you have put us in this situation, how do we separate this? This is the question that has come about. So, it is a very deep question. And we are not even aware of the depth of the question. That's why we simply take it that, we just read it out on the surface and take it. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see the same question was asked by Arjuna in a different form. If you look into chapter 14, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, those who have got Bhagavad Gita, you can look at that verse. It says there, if you look into chapter 14, you will see there in verse 21, and Krishna, Arjuna's question was, Kair lingair trin gunanetan adido bhavadi prabho kim achara katham chaitams trin gunyan adivartate. Basically, the question comes, if you sum it up, it comes in another way. How do you transcend the three modes of material nature? What actually links the senses and the sense objects? How did that happen? Because of the three modes of material nature, isn't it? Three modes of material nature. That is why Krishna started this chapter with the three modes of material nature. Because the link between us and this world is through the three modes of material nature. It is only because of the three modes of material nature we are connected with this world outside. So that's why Krishna said, Sattvam rajastama iti guna buddher na chalmana Sattven anyadamau hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi. The beginning of the verse itself, Krishna begins with this understanding that sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, the three modes of nature, iti gunaha, buddhe, they belong to buddhi. They are in the buddhi, not in the soul, nothing to do with the soul. This all we have to keep it in our head all the time. Otherwise, when we all become self-realized, we will get confused. One day if it happens. Because we will start thinking. That's why Krishna clarifies important things there. Krishna is saying to us, they all belong to buddhi. Which one? These three modes of nature belongs to buddhi, not to the soul. And that is why when we are move on to the spiritual platform, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava purely from a spiritual position. So same thing with Arjuna also. He's talking to Arjuna also from the spiritual position. So this interaction between the senses or the mind inside, which is all under the influence of the modes of nature, it is going out and coming in as it wishes, without even our asking us for any permission, isn't it? We go along with that. We don't have any control over it. That's why all the senses are interacting with the sense objects all the time throughout the vacant state. That's what's happening. So, in other words, if you put the same question in another form, you can say the question is how to transcend the three modes of material nature. That's the question. But Uddhava asked this question, the four Kumaras asked this question in one way. But the answer is this, Arjuna's way of asking this question was how to transcend the three modes of material nature. You see that? That one side, Uddhava, when Kumaras asked the question, they asked in one way. Arjuna asked a question, he asked in a different way. You see? Question is the same, it's not a different question. We may think, oh, Arjuna asked this question, Uddhava is asking something different. It's not different, it's the same question. But the way they frame the question is different. Uddhava's question was that Guneshu Avishade Chedo Gunaschedasija Prabho Katham Anyonya Samtyago Mumucho Adititirshoho. That in the 17th verse, he says there, that Guneshu Avishade Chedo Gunams, the three modes of nature are inside, Gunaschedasija Prabho. And they go into the sense objects and engage in sense engagement, sense gratification. Katham anyonya samtyago, anyonya, mutually they are doing this together. Then how mumuksho aditi tirshoho, one who wants to free oneself from this, what should he do? This was the question from the Kumaras to Krishna. This was the question from Kumaras to Brahma, in other words. First he started with Brahma, isn't it? But this question, when Arjuna asked Krishna, he asked in a different way. How did he ask? Arjuna Vacha, if you look at that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, that is the three modes of material nature verse, he says, Kim kairlingair strin gunani etan adido bhavadi prabho kim achara katham chaitam strin gunan adivartade. How do I? He says here, Arjuna inquired, O my dear Lord, by what symptoms is one known who is transcendental to those modes? What is his behavior and how does he transcend the modes of nature? How does he transcend the modes of nature? So you can see the connection between Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam is very, very strong. It's the same topic discussed by two different personalities and Krishna in two different occasions. So, in reply to that, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna answered like this. Again, Krishna didn't say the process, how to break away from the modes of nature. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there. Krishna never answers any question direct. This is the problem with Krishna. He will never answer, and every time, everybody who is reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is thinking, why doesn't he answer the question? Well, I mentioned this to you, in spiritual life it is like that. It has to be like that. Because if anything is answered, straight away what we will do? We'll try to bring that under the limit of our mind and intelligence, and we will never get any realization from that. That will stop us realizing it. But if the answer is given in such a way, it will make us to think, why did Krishna answer like that? Krishna's answer is as strange as the way Krishna answered Uddhava earlier. He says here, the person who has realized, he has answered that, prakashancha pravurtincha moham eva japandava nadveshti sampravurtani nanavurtani kankshadi udasina vadasino guneryo navichalyade gunavartanditya evam yovatishtadi mengade samadukka sugasvastha sugasvastha samaloshtashmaka anchana tulya priya apriyo dhira തുല്യനിന്ദാത്മസംസ്ഥിതി മാനാപമാനയോ തുല്യ തുല്യോ മിത്രാരിപക്ഷയോ സർവാരംഭ പരിത്യാഗി ഗുണാതീതസ ഉച്ചതേ. സോ ദീസ് ഫോർ വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ ആൻസേർഡ് അർജുന. അർജുന, എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഹാസ് ട്രാൻസെൻഡഡ് ദി ത്രീ മോഡ്സ് ഓഫ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ നേച്ചർ ഈസ് ലൈക് ദിസ്. We gave the answer. Uddhava asked the question, how to transcend. Krishna answers, if he has transcended, it will be like this. He says here, isn't it? Pravartincha prakashancha pravartincha moham evaja pandava na dveshti sampravartani na nivartani kankshadi. Then he says all these things here, that, and when we see this answer in the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, naturally we have to ask this question, why Krishna did not answer that question in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Krishna had in 700 verses, Krishna had to say what he had to say to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna, it is actually Krishna decides who should understand, how much he should understand. That is also in Krishna's hands. We think, oh, we have got big intelligence and we are thinking that everything we'll capture with our brain, isn't it? In spiritual life, it doesn't happen like that. When talking to Arjuna, Krishna understood that Arjuna's time was very short there. Arjuna didn't have that amount of time. Very few words Krishna wanted to say to Arjuna, and Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand. Arjuna understood it. Here with Uddhava, Krishna had little bit more time. That is why you find that when Krishna instructed Uddhava, he decided to instruct Uddhava a little bit more in depth. That's why in Ekadasha Skandam you will find certain things which are not elaborately discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find discussed in Bhagavadam, in Ekadasham. You will see that. So, on one level, Krishna talked to Arjuna in this way, and Arjuna did not ask any further questions after that. Then Krishna talked about Mam Jayo Vibhijarena Bhakti Yogena Sevida Sagunan Samadhiti Idan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpadeem. Then he says, Krishna's given a very quick answer. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. That was the next verse. After these four verses, Krishna spoke about the nature of a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Then in the next verse, Krishna is saying that Mam Chayo Vibhijarena Bhakti Yogena Sevida Sagunan Samadhi Teidan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. He says, one who has Mamchayo Avyabhijarena Bhakti Yogena. Remember this. This Avyabhijarena word is so important in that verse, that this devotion, what Krishna is talking about, is not sadhana bhakti. It's not sadhana bhakti. It is the bhakti what Krishna talks about later as parabhakti. If you remember that Brahma Buddha Prasannatma na shojadi na kankshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labade param. That parabhakti is the only topic that is discussed in Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam. Not the sadhana bhakti what we are considering today. Our bhakti is full of list, isn't it? Give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. And that is not the bhakti we'll take to this state. This bhakti, what Krishna is discussing here, is that bhakti after reaching the state of Brahman realization. That's why it said here, Maijanan Mamjayo Avyabhijarena Bhakti Yogena Sevida Saganan Samaditeidan Brahmabhuyaya Kalpade. Brahmabhuyaya Kalpade, that is important thing. That Brahmabhuya means one who is in the Brahman realized state, how he executes his bhakti. That is a different kind of bhakti than what we are discussing here. This bhakti is executed by personalities like Sukadeva Goswami and all the great devotees like Prahlada and others. They execute that bhakti. They don't execute the bhakti like the way we refer to bhakti, isn't it? Prahlada's bhakti, Gopi's bhakti. They are all in that different category they are talking about. Ambarish Maharaj's bhakti, Vritrasura's bhakti. You will see there, that is Brahman realized state. In that state, they are executing their bhakti. So, if you look into the verses, what they have spoken, Vritrasura's words, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see. What did he say there? He says there in the Srimad Bhagavadam, if you look Vritrasura's bhakti, it is not the bhakti that what we are talking about, isn't it? Ajada baksham ivamadaram khaga sanyam yadha valsadara chudhartaham priyam priyeva vishidam vishanna mano aravindaksha didarkshade tvam mamotama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakram brahmadam sakarma bhi. This is their consciousness. They have realized that there is a thing called samsara chakram. What is that? Constantly changing the material body. They have realized that. We have not realized that yet, that there is a thing. People, Shastram is telling us that we have to accept another body again. But I don't think many of us are frightened about accepting another body. None of us are frightened about accepting another body because we are still thinking, let's finish this life first. We'll think about that later when we get there. We'll cross that bridge at that time. This is how most of us think about it. Although, while talking to each other, we will say, I don't want to accept another body. I can give you very, very practical examples of this. some of these people, they sometimes, some devotees say, oh, I don't want to accept another body. They say this. But you can see from their very words, they are not worried about the next body. What they are worried about, the death that is going to come. That is what is worrying them. Not the next body. Next body, who knows? Who has the clear idea about that? What it's going to be? Sometimes we say, we don't want to accept another body. But we know that inside, there is so much to clear up. Before we talking about the, going back to the self-realized state. So Krishna is always talking about from the spiritual platform. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to simply understand it. That's all spoken from the pure spiritual platform. That means Krishna doesn't want to waste his time in the battlefield or with Uddhava talking about our bhakti. It'll be complete waste of time for Krishna to do that. That there are many others in this world to tell us what to do, how to execute this bhakti, what we are used to. So, the important thing here is that maija nanya yogena bhakti ravi abhijarini avyabhijarini mamjayo vyabhijarena bhakti yogena sevita sagunan samadhi teidan brahma bhuyaya kalpade. Only such a person, he can transcend the modes of material nature. Krishna gave one simple answer like that. And then Krishna finished that chapter with another words. Brahmanohi pradishtaham amrdasya avyayasya ja shashvatascha dharmasya sukasegandigasya ja. There's one more words Krishna spoke and the chapter was over. Krishna didn't go anything more than that in that chapter. Brahmanohi pradishtaham amrdasya avyayasya ja shashvatascha dharmasya sukasegandigasya ja. Krishna says here that I am the basis of impersonal Brahman, which is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness and which is immortal, imperishable and eternal. That's all. With that, the chapter is over. So, Arjuna asks a question, how do I transcend the three modes of material nature? And Krishna answered four verses telling him that you should understand the person's nature who has transcended the modes. And then in one verse he said, that just practice that bhakti, what is experienced after the realization of Brahman. That mamjayo avyabhijarena bhakti yogena sevida. And then you will sagunan samadhi teidan brahma bhuyaya kalpade. And then you will transcend the three modes of nature and you are also in the Brahma realized state at that time. Finish that. And then in another verse he said that I am the basis of impersonal Brahman. Remember, Brahman is I am the Adhishtanam basis, and which is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. And so, Shashvatasya Dharmasya Suga Segandigasya Ja. He says that is the Shashvatam, eternal state. So, there, in the Bhagavad Gita, this question, how do I cross these three modes of nature? So, there, Krishna said few things, isn't it? Prakasham Pravurti Moham. In other words, when we are in the mood of goodness, Krishna is saying there, prakasham, enlightenment, knowledge, in other words. Pravritti, our activities, and moham. Three things Krishna mentions there, isn't it? When you are in the mode of goodness, first thing Krishna says, there will be enlightenment inside. Realization will be there. Knowledge will be there. And in that state, what will happen? You will engage in spiritual activities. You will engage in spiritual activities. What kind of spiritual activities? Spiritual activities based on knowledge. Not based on begging, spiritual life. No, it's based on knowledge. What is that? The knowledge, understanding that the the realizations that's coming from the knowledge. In other words, japam, dhyanam, meditation, all activities and all the proper way it will be executed. It will be executed in the proper way, which means you'll chant the holy name properly. You will engage in deity worship properly. You will engage in meditations properly. In reading Srimad Bhagavatam properly. All in the mode of goodness. All these things will happen. While in Rajogunam, what will happen? Krishna says there, karmam and raga dvesham will be there. The immediate nature of a person in Rajogunam is action. He has to act. Action is a part of Rajogunam. So, when one has that strong Rajogunam inside, if you tell him to sit down, he won't be able to sit down in one place. He has to be in action all the time. So that is why those who are in such Rajogunam, if you have to bring them to spiritual life, you have to engage them through Rajogunam. There is no other way. There is no other way. Because that is the gunam inside. What can you do? The gunam inside the person is rajas, is passion. If it is like that, that person has to be engaged through Rajogunam. And in course of time, even in that process, one day, he will come to, that Rajogunam will diminish in him. He'll come to Sattvagunam, and in Sattvagunam, all these realizations will come to him in due course. But otherwise, action, karmam, is nothing but a part of Rajogunam. So karmam, ragadvesham, and what is the symptom of that? Continuously doing something, never ending, non-stop, in other words. He's so busy in the service that he has no time for a minute to sit down and to read and to think about what is Krishna is saying, what Krishna is saying there. So this Rajogunam, Rajoragatmagam Vidhi, isn't it? Says there in the Bhagavatam also, that Ragatmagam Vidhi, Raga means attachment. And naturally, if you act in this world, there will be attachment. Attachment will come. Because every time when we act, attachment and aversion is a part of that. And that will also happen. And now, if you go into Tamogunam, what will happen is, Krishna says there, Alasyam, Nidra and Gurutvam. That means, Alasyam means laziness. In Tamogunam, there is only this one quality, laziness. All the time lazy. If you are not lazy, you are sleeping. And if you are not sleeping, you are feeling so heavy with the body and you feel continuously in that state. So, Tamogunam manifests in that way. Rajogunam manifests through action. And Sattvagunam manifests in spiritual activities in the mode of goodness. All these things. So, all these three things in a particular period of time will come to everybody. In different dimensions. In different dimensions it will come. In some people, one particular guna will be more than the other. That's all the difference is. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there that one who is not bound by the three modes of material nature, Krishna says the answer there, in one particular way Krishna answered that question. Krishna's answers here, also very much difficult sometimes you find to understand that. Krishna's answer was that when the three modes of material nature is acting, Krishna says, when the three modes of material nature is acting, whether to desire inside, I should have this gunam continuously. Say, for example, sattvagunam comes, you feel happiness inside, isn't it? But if you desire inside, this happiness should stay all the time. That means you got attached to that gunam. Same thing with rajogunam and same thing with tamogunam also. Sometimes in rajogunam, we will think, I'm enjoying. And so much, identity with this enjoyment is so strong. You want to enjoy that and you want that stage to stay in the inside all the time. But Krishna is saying here, if you meet with every modes of nature in this way, never getting attached to anything and quietly observing that the modes are coming and going, you won't be in trouble. That's the answer to that. That every time when a particular modes of nature is influencing us strongly, because they keep coming and going all the time. Sometimes sattvam, sometimes rajasa, sometimes tamasa. So even when sattvagunam comes, Krishna says, that is why sattvam sattvena chaivahi, he said that in the beginning. Each of these verses, hanyal sattve anyadamau hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi, he says. Sattvagunam, with sattvagunam you should get rid of. How do you do that? That's what this is. You see, in the first verse, if you look in there, the first verse Krishna is saying, sattvam rajasa tamasa idi gunam buddhe na chalpana. That means they all belong to intelligence, not to the soul. He said that. Then he says, after getting rid of Rajogunam and Tamogunam with Sattvagunam, get rid of Tamogunam and Rajogunam with Sattvagunam, then get rid of Sattvagunam with Sattvagunam itself. He says there, isn't it? How do we do that? That's the question, isn't it? The other two we can understand, that through Sattvagunam you can get rid of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That is understandable. But how do you get rid of Sattvagunam with Sattvagunam? And that is what this is. Krishna is saying there, in Sattvagunam, you can develop this quality. What is that? Modes are coming and going, coming and going. And if you have learned not to get attached to any gunam, Sattvagunam will also leave you. That is that Sattvam, Sattven Anyadamohanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chaivahi. Verses are very short, but the knowledge that is packed into each of these verses is very profound. That unless one keep on reflecting on all these things, it will not happen. You will always keep blinking about this. What's all Krishna is saying? This question will come up. That's why it said here, Satven Anidamau Hanyal Satvam Satvena Chaivahi. Get rid of Sattvagunam with Sattvagunam. And what is that Sattvagunam? That Sattvagunam is Krishna is saying here, that when Sattvagunam comes, if you do not desire inside, I want that gunam to stay inside. I'm not bothered whether it stays or whether it goes. That means in a detached mood to deal with even Sattvagunam. Even with Sattvagunam, you have to deal in a detached way. Generally, what does people think? People think, oh, Tamogunam, I don't want it, it's too much. Rajogunam, I don't mind, but after a while I get tired of it. But when Sattvagunam comes, we think, Sattvagunam is nice, you feel happy. Prakasham, Krishna says, isn't it? The symptoms of a person in Sattvagunam. So immediately you feel happy in Sattvagunam, you are willing to stay in Sattvagunam, Krishna says you are in trouble. Immediately you think like that, Sattvagunam is nice, you are in trouble. That's why he said there, that Sattven Anyadamau Hanyal Sattvam Sattvena Chaivahi. Sattvam, get rid of Sattvam with Sattvagunam. And that is the state how the modes of nature will go from a person. But while in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, you can't get rid of Sattvagunam inside. That question doesn't arise. It's only possible in Sattvagunam. And in that stage, so you will not... This is as far as Sattvagunam is concerned. Whether it comes or goes, you won't mind. Similarly, when Rajogunam and Tamogunam comes, also you should not insist that it should leave you. That's also another thing. Because if you are insisting, it means that you are affected by that. So, if you remember, earlier we spoke about this. Krishna talked about staying as a witness, isn't it? This witness state is Krishna is saying here. That as a witness to everything, what is observing, quietly observing your own mind, your own intelligence, your own body, and seeing, staying away from that. This is the beginning of spiritual life. That moving away from the identity with the body, identity with the mind, identity with the intelligence, all these things you can only break away in the process Krishna has explained in this chapter. That is why it's called Hamsavidya. So, all these three... These three modes of nature, he is only a witness. He is only a witness. To remain in that witness is the most difficult thing, isn't it? Because we never knew what this witness is before. We are hearing about the witness at the age of 50 and 60, that there's a thing called witness. And now we have to start this whole chapter again. It becomes much more difficult. So, sometimes I mentioned this before also, somebody wants to engage in meditation or chant the holy name, japam or dhyanam or whatever it is. So this question has been asked by many sadhakas who are executing sadhana to their spiritual masters and to other acharyas, this question, what they have asked. What was their question? Their question was like this, that different people have answered that question in different ways. If people answer this question. So they said that, they answered this, that... When I sit down to chant, I'm feeling sleepy. What should I do? You ask this question, isn't it? When I sat down to chant, I'm feeling falling asleep. Some people have this big problem that when they start chanting, they fall asleep straight away. And it's better than a sleeping pill sometimes. It's so effective that they can get good sleep when they chant. And then they say, chanting was very good because I got a good sleep after that. Even some people say like that, I slept very well because I was chanting the holy name and slept. And all sorts of conclusions the mind brings us to us, isn't it? So that's anyway beside the point. The point is this, they ask this question, what should I do if I feel sleepy when I'm chanting? This is the question. So some people will say, when you feel sleepy, you get up and walk and chant the holy name. Do the japa while walking so that you don't fall asleep. Somebody else will say to you, go and have a good wash of your face with cold water, and then you won't feel sleepy and do the chanting in that way. Some other people, little bit more on a deeper level, they'll tell him, you should restrict your eating habits. That means don't eat anything in the night before you go to sleep. Because if you sleep with a heavy stomach, with a full belly, you go to sleep, in the morning the body will become very heavy. Gurutvam means. Gurutvam, that tamogunam will be very strong inside. That's why these late night dinners and all have to stop. Those who are used to that, they have to move away from eating in the evening. Move to lunchtime or to breakfast and be satisfied with that. After all, why do we have to eat? To maintain this body, isn't it? Nothing more than that. But everyone looks forward to a nice dinner. And if it's not there, we get upset also. So that's what, that is the point, that some people will say to them, that control your food, that, and that way you will not feel that much sleepy in the morning when you are chanting the holy name. All these things will be there. So, but, strictly speaking, some things may not work for everybody. Some people, even if they don't eat, they will say, I didn't eat last night, so let me have a good sleep at least. I lost out on my eating, now I'm going to lose out on my sleep as well. Why is it like that? What is the reason behind it? The reason is this. Unless you have very burning desire for self-realization or realizing the truth, you will not be able to engage in serious chanting. Japa won't happen seriously, unless that is woken up inside. We are doing because externally somebody is telling us, do this every day. Sometimes spiritual master is telling, sometimes wife is telling, sometimes children are also telling these days, Daddy, you are telling me all these things, but you are having a good sleep in the morning. So the father is in trouble all the time. From all sides, everybody is attacking him. So poor man inside, he is thinking about his job and earning the money and paying the bills and all these kinds of thoughts is going through his head. So in the middle of all these things, you are trying to transcend the three modes of nature. So you can see the problem where it is coming from. So the thing is this, that it is then that this knowledge what Krishna is talking about will come to our help. Will come to our help. Even after, this only will help those people, first thing as Krishna said before, that unless one is serious about spiritual life, all these things have no meaning. All these things have no meaning at all. So Krishna is saying there that if you are under the modes of material nature, any modes, doesn't matter. If that mode has influenced you so strongly in your body and intelligence, accept it that way. That means if you are falling sleepy, sleep very well. Go and have a good sleep. Sometime you will wake up. Because you are not going to sleep forever, isn't it? Unless you are Kumbhakarna or somebody. For months and years you can sleep like that. But generally, most of us, we are happy with 8-10 hours good sleep, isn't it? After that sleep is over, wake up and then chant the holy name. And then chant the holy name. So Krishna's point, Krishna is answering from that position. Krishna's point is Gunatidan. Gunatidan means one who has transcended the gunam. That means you observe that has attacked you, your body and the mind and intelligence. Sleep through it, wake up, and then at least you are not infected by that sleep, tamogunam, and then chant the holy name. Chant the holy name. So, so Krishna says here that you should not insist that you are falling asleep and you are shaking your head and chanting and you are fighting against the that won't work. That has no, it has no importance. That's not the way to do it then. When you are sleeping, feeling sleepy, sleep. That when the sleep goes, and if the satunam comes back, you feel peaceful inside, engage in the, take the attention to the, practicing the spiritual activities. That. So, once the sleep comes, you can't do anything about it. So, you can do something before the sleep has come, you can control your diet and all that. But once the sleep has come, then you can't do anything. Then you can't control the diet. You already eaten full up. Then what you can do about it? You can't do anything about it. So that is why he says here that once it has come, you cannot fight against it. Therefore, in other words, inside the mind, we have to give up this fighting nature with the modes. We shouldn't fight with the three modes of nature and not to feel any modes of nature as our enemies. You shouldn't accept them as your enemies, because modes of nature are in the material nature. Modes of nature are not in us. It is in the material nature. When I say in the material nature, intelligence is a part of the material nature, not in us. All the time, very clearly, we have to tell ourselves, the modes are in the intelligence. Intelligence is a part of material nature, not me. You see? That is how we have to separate it out all the time, because otherwise if you think, oh, modes of nature has affected me, it means that you are accepting that the identification with the body straight away. Identification of the body straight away. So, modes of nature are in the material nature. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, they are in the material nature. So, if it is like that, I am sleeping or I have to sleep, I am feeling hungry, I have to do the work, I have to get out of the work. And when we say all that thing, our identity has become one with the upadhi. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the moment you say, I have to sleep, I have to eat, I have to engage in this action, I have to withdraw from this action, once you keep on identifying with all these things, you are identifying with the upadhi. You know what upadhi means? Shariram, or material body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the ego, that's all upadhi. Upadhi means the medium through which the soul is engaging with the world. Soul is engaging with the world. They are all upadhis. So, once you identify upadhi, you are left your identity with the soul. So, every time when it happens, Krishna is saying there, that don't identify with the upadhi. They are all upadhis. Shastric word is upadhi. So don't identify with the body. Identify with the self. That's the main thing Krishna is bringing out there. So he says here that as soon as you identify with the body, you are in trouble. Krishna spoke about this in the 11th chapter. If you look, 11th chapter and the 11th verse in the 11th chapter. What did Krishna say about that at that time? This whole Ekadasha Skandham is one package, all thrown back and forth. And if you look at there, certain things what Krishna has mentioned there in the 11th verse, if you remember that verse, it says, Evam virakta shayanam asanadanam ajane darshana sparshana ghana brojana shravana adishu na tatha badhya devi dvan tatra tatra adayan gunan prakritistho bi asam sakto yathakham savida anilaha. Two verses. Very important verses. Krishna says here, Evam virakta shayanam asanadanam ajjane darshana sparshana grana bhojana shravanadishu. Then Krishna says, this person who has understood his identity as the soul, what will he do? Even while eating, while sleeping, while walking, while playing, while seeing, while touching, and while smelling or while hearing, he will see that all his senses are engaged in activities. He will look at the senses. You have to separate from the body. You have to separate from the senses. You have to separate from the mind. You have to separate from the intelligence. You have to separate from the false ego. Because they are the upadhis through which we identify with the body. Body, and this whole thing is mixed up at the moment within us, isn't it? It's a complete mixed up state what we are in today. We want to move away from this to the spiritual identity purely as the soul. So Krishna says in the 11th chapter, when he talked about that, Krishna says, when he talked about dehastho bina dehastha, that even while in the body, you're not in the body. Krishna says there, evam virakta shayanam asanadanam ajjane darshanam sparshanam granam bhojanam shayanadishu. Then he says, na tatha badhya devidvan tatra tatra yadal tatradayan gunan prakritisthobi asam satto yathakham savita anilaha. What that person does is that although he knows very well, natatha badhyade, he will not bind himself with anything. Vidwan, he is vidwan, he is in knowledge. Why? Tatra tatradayan gunan prakritisthobi asam satto yathakham savita anila. Krishna's explanation is like that. Prakritisthobi asam saktam. With prakriti asam sakti, no attachment. With prakriti. Prakriti means not outside. Prakriti is inside us. That is his success. Outside is another thing. Outside you can easily break away with the Prakriti. It is that Prakriti inside us is most difficult thing to break with, isn't it? This thing called us, what we are identifying with the body, this body is a combination of all these things. Mind, intelligence, false ego, gross body, senses, for everything. All these things with soul is what we are today, what we are. But when we go into the spiritual identity, one after the other, we have to free ourselves from this. Freedom from the mind, freedom from the body, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the false ego, freedom from the senses. This is called the freedom what Krishna is talking about, not the freedom what politicians are talking about. It's a different kind of freedom. This is. So here Krishna says, Prakritistobi asamsakto. Asamsakto means he has no samsargam or attachment with that Prakriti. With Prakriti he won't get attached under any circumstances. Yatha kham savida anila. Just like he says here that the air, anila, is air. Although it's moving around everywhere, it doesn't identify with anything. When it is washing through the flowers, you will smell as though a nice flavor comes from the air. When it goes through a filthy place, the filthy smell will come. But after the wind leaves that, it loses that identity also. So under no circumstances, the wind attaches anywhere. This is what the lesson who talked to us before about that. If you remember, if you are reading Bhagavatam, you will remember. Somebody taught us as one of the 24 spiritual masters, Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi told us what he learned from the wind, isn't it? So why was he talking to us? He was telling us that I learned this from the wind. What did I learn from the wind? I learned from the wind that me as the soul has nothing to do with anything in this world. Nothing in this world. Just like the wind is going from one place to another, but unaffected by anything. Similarly, I also learned the same thing from the wind, he says. His realization from the wind. So, although he travels everywhere, the wind goes everywhere, similarly, a realized soul, although he is situated within the body, within this gross body, he doesn't have any connection with it. He doesn't have any connection with it. In other words, Prakritistobi asamsakto yathakham savita anila. Then, in other words, savita anila. Why did savita anila? Savita is the sun. Why sun is giving an example? Sun example is given because sun is in the sky and shining in the sky, and sun is reflecting in the water here, isn't it? It's reflecting in the water. But whatever happens to the water, suppose the water is very muddy, it doesn't affect the sun there in the sky. It affects the sun in the water. So if the water is clean, again the sun is clean here. The water is muddy, the sun is muddy here. So whatever that happens to the upadhi, here water is the upadhi, where you are seeing the sun through the upadhi, isn't it? That's why water is called upadhi. So through the upadhi, when you look, you feel as though sun is dirty. If the water is dirty, you see as though the sun is dirty. But if you look at the sky, sun is not dirty. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, when you look at your own body, you have to think that this soul has lost its purity, or you're feeling you are affected only because you are looking through the upadhis to the sun, to the soul. If you learn to look at the soul without upadhis, without any of these upadhis, the soul is pure, is pure consciousness. And that is that what we are talking about, the awareness of I am existing. That's pure. That never goes, never leaves us. But asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam puna puna. It says there, isn't it? Asangoyam. Asangoyam means I have no sangam. I have no attachment anywhere, anything, with any of these things. All these things have come to me. I didn't go after them. Material body has come to me. Mind has come to me. Intelligence has come to me. So they say, false ego has come to me. I have nothing to do with it. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Then, so, Sachidananda Ryuboham. My pure identity is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Isn't it? Sachidananda Ryuboham. My pure identity is soul. Nothing to do with this material body. So, that is why these two examples of the sun as well as the wind is spoken here in Bhagavatam. Natathabhadyade vidvan tatra tatra dayan gunan prakritistobi asam satto yathakam savidanilam. Yathakam savidanilam. Then Krishna says here, vidvan. Vidvan means a person who is realizations. He says he will never bind himself with his body. Why? Tatra tatra dayan gunan. And prakritistobi asam satto yathakam savidanila. Because he knows that when the senses are working, he is realizing that senses are working due to the modes of nature. The body, mind is working due to modes of nature. Intelligence is working due to modes of nature. Tatradayan gunayan. Prakritistobi asam satto yathakam savidanila. So Krishna said then that whatever that is happening within me, he says, he will remain as a witness. He will remain as a witness. So, remaining as a witness is more important than anything else. Remaining as a witness is more important than anything else. Let the material body continue its activities in the material nature. Because material body belongs to material nature. Material body belongs to material nature. So, let the material body live its life in the material nature. Because material body belongs to material nature. It doesn't belong to us. It's no good enough saying, I'm not this body, I'm not this body. That's not good enough. We also have to recognize this, that material body is a part of material nature. So let the material body deal with the material nature, because that's where it belongs to. Number one. And then, I'm eating, I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty, I'm feeling sleepy. All these things, one has to come out of this. One has to come out of this. Why do we perform tapasya? Tapasya, like fasting. This is all just the beginning only. That when we start fasting, we'll slowly realize it that eating all the time is not necessary for the soul. That's the first realization comes, isn't it? If we fasting, but if we make every Ekadashi a feast, then that also won't happen. If every Ekadashi becomes a feast, then where will that happen? How will that happen? You replace one with another thing, that's all. Nothing else has happened. So, tapasya or fasting, is one of the tapasya. There are so many tapasya, like you can see, all personalities, whoever, no matter who it is, before they went into spiritual life, they performed tapasya, isn't it? Look at Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They performed tapasya, did they not? They also performed tapasya. Hiranyakashipu's tapasya is well known. Even Lord Brahma recognized and gave him a certificate. Nobody else has done like you, he says, to Hiranyakashipu's certificate. His certificate is much better than our certificates, what we get give here. This, when he gave the certificate, if you look at the words in the Bhagavatam, that demon Hiranyakashipu got the best certificate. He says there, Na karishyati chabare, nobody has done like this in the past and nobody will do in the future like this, he says. Seeing his tapasya, such a certificate, who can get it? Except Hiranyakashipu. So you may remember, you may be thinking, oh, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they are just like villains in the drama, isn't it? People have this understanding, they are demons and I am better than them. At least they made it in three lifetimes. We are here for 300 crores going through this. They made it in three lifetimes. They are devotees. Don't think that otherwise. Only difference what Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu was done was that they didn't follow the same way like Gopis and Uddhava and Parikshit Maharaj just followed. They have followed another yoga system. In the Bhagavatam it's mentioned there. Samrambha Sambhrada Samadhi Yogam, it is called. They hated Krishna to such an extent, Krishna said, you can come back. So, they made it in three lifetimes. And we are here for the last 300 million years, going through one after the other. So, important thing is to remember this is that the this realization, what we are talking about is that the everything when it happens, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm sleepy, at that time tapasya is necessary. Tapasya means not to insist on anything. Being satisfied with whatever that comes in life, that is the spiritual nature, isn't it? Anything that comes in life, fine, that's acceptable. There's nothing more to complain about it. Not being particular about it. Not being particular about it. Then, sometimes you won't get sleep at night. Doesn't matter. If there's no sleep, doesn't matter. Stay away fresh very well and chant the holy name or read Srimad Bhagavatam.
And in that way, so in all such nights, you should, if the sleep doesn't come, you have to feel happy about it, because that in this world, to stay on one's own is very rare, because all the time people are around, isn't it, demanding one thing or the other. So at least at that time when the whole world is sleeping, you feel some peace inside, that you can think something about spiritual life at that time. That's an opportunity. So little by little, how to move and free yourself from this upadhi, that is what Krishna is talking about this. That upadhis, let it do its business in this world. Let the upadhi conduct its business in this world. But we have to stay within ourselves, what we are. We have to stay within ourselves. If you do like that, upadhi will not show its dharmam. Upadhi dharmam it's called. Upadhi dharma means that gunam, the three modes of nature, belongs to upadhis. Remember, that's how Krishna started, isn't it? Sattvena anyadhanamo sattvam sattva rajasthamaiti guna buddhair na chalpana. By saying that, Krishna says that all the modes of nature are for upadhis, are for upadhi. I don't know what is the best word to translate it to English, because the only word I know is, you can say roughly close to it, is the medium through which it's working. But upadhi is that thing which has grown around the soul, or keeping the soul trapped within that, within the upadhi. What that means, the gross body, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego. They are all the upadhis. Krishna is saying here that if you stay like that, allowing the upadhis to do its business with the world, upadhis activity will not affect you. Upadhis activity will not affect you. This is the way Krishna says how to become gunatidan. Gunatidan is another word Krishna has used in the Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita you will sign. Same person and same nature, Krishna calls in different names, isn't it? You will notice that. Sthita Prajnato, Dvandvadidan, Gunadidan, Bhakta, Jnani, Yogi, Karma Yogi. Various titles Krishna has given there. For the sake, all it means one thing, one who is trying to realize the truth. That's all. He is trying to realize the truth. But if you look into their activities, you can see that they are all more or less doing the same thing. There is not much difference from one to the another. So that is what Krishna says here, that gunatidan, because our question was about transcending the three modes of nature, Krishna says, let the upadhi do its business with the material nature, but you stay separately. You stay away from that. Here, the four Kumaras are asking this question. Gunam, three modes of nature are entering to the mind, and the mind is entering to the modes of nature. And how can we get rid of this, stop this? This is the question. So, according to the modes of nature, the mind makes its connection, or mind gets absorbed or makes attachment to the vastu or objects in the world. So, as I mentioned before, when you are in the mode of goodness, you go to the temple or you engage in deity worship, you chant the holy name, you do activities in spiritual life. When in the modes of passion, you are busy with work, action, action, all the time, and always want to do something. In the mode of ignorance, you will be looking for the best bed to sleep. And then you will say, is the AC available or the fan is available? This is all coming from there. So, accordingly, you will inquire about the objects in this world. Through the eyes, the mind will go to the external world and look for sense gratification. Through the ears, it will go and engage in hearing the sound from outside. What can you do? This is the question from the Kumaras, isn't it? Kumaras' question is, what to do? As soon as the mind gets the opportunity, it will go through the eyes to the world outside and looking at things. And it will go through the ears and hearing things. This is the question. So, when I am meditating, when I am in meditation, I am in a yoga situation. But as soon as you come out from that meditation, immediately you start seeing so many objects in this world.
So what shall I do then? Just like when we chant, we say we are in the spiritual world. Sometimes some people are in the spiritual world. But after we come out of that chanting, we say everything is gone now. What should we do now? I have to go to work, and there it's not spiritual world very much. When you go there, it's a completely different world, isn't it? So constantly, although you have you have experienced some realization at that time, that constantly sense objects are coming inside, and inside, and the chittam is going constantly to the sense objects. And how can we stay without this? This is the question. Brahma immediately scratched his head when he heard this question. Brahma started scratching his head. And Brahma thought, Prasnavar Atitirshoho. He says in the verse, he says, Atitirshoho. Atitirshoho means he's scratching his head very seriously. That means he is unable to answer that question. He's unable to answer that question. You have to remember, Brahma is in Rajogunam, isn't it? He's always in action, is it not? Brahma is always in action. He has got the worst job in this whole creation, because he has to create people like us. So from there you can see how difficult job he has got. Each one of us, he has to send us to this world, looking into our history, our track record, and based on that decide what type of body, where to go and take birth, and which body and how to live in this world. So, and also he has to pack us and send us here. Rajodigaha karma varaha. And he has to fill these modes also is within us. So Brahma's job is like that. So there is no work which is worse than not Brahma's job. It's the most difficult job also at the same time. So while doing this work, Brahma didn't think about it. He was so absorbed in this work, what he had to do. Brahma could not think about any of these things. So so the interesting thing is, Brahma has been instructed by Krishna before creation. Isn't it? If you remember, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, Krishna gave to Lord Brahma and told him, keep reciting these verses and continue with your creation, then it won't affect you. When Krishna said that to Brahma, what he means is that let this understanding be always there in your action. Not that just with the lips you recite the four verses and carry on doing what he wants to do. That's not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying that Ahamevasam Evagre, the four key verses, you know, Chatushloki Bhagavatam in the second canto. We have seen that, isn't it? There, when this Chatushloki Bhagavatam was instructed and given to Lord Brahma, Krishna says to him that if this consciousness, if you create, you will not get into problem. But somehow or the other, it didn't happen. So Brahma fell into problems. That's what has happened. So Brahma, instead of keeping that why did that happen? That's also reason behind it. That is the power of Rajogunam. Rajogunam is such a powerful thing. It captures, once it captures anyone, it's very difficult to come out of it. Come out of Rajogunam. And even if we think we have come out of it, the next moment you will see you are inside it. Very much so. So he says here, Brahma, in the 18th verse, if you look in this chapter, Krishna says here, evam prishto mahadeva swayambhur bhuta bhavana. And dhyayamana prasna bijam nabhyabhadhada padhyada karmati. Brahma situation, he is saying here, evam prishto mahadeva. Mahadeva, he is addressed here, swayambhu. And swayambhu, he has born from, he didn't take a birth from a womb. Swayambhu. And because he was engaged in the srishti or creation process, Jayamana prasna bijam nabhyavadhyada karmadhi. Karmadhi, that was the problem. Karmadhi means he was so absorbed in karmam, so absorbed in karmam that he could not think about it. He could not think about it. From this you can see, karmam is not the answer to the problem. if we have misunderstood that simply by engaging in karmam, we will escape from... Karmam is a disease. It has come to us. How to escape from karmam, that is the whole spiritual science is all about. Continuously absorbed in karmam is not the escape from karmam. Nobody has escaped from karmam in that way. And giving this best example of Lord Brahma, it is Bhagavatam is telling us, because he was karmadhi, he was engaged in karmam, this has happened to him. This has happened to him. Brahma lost it because of that. So, the point here is, Krishna says here, evam prishto mahadeva swayambhu bhudabhavana and dhyayamana prashna bijam nabhyabhadhyada karmavi. Why did he not get it? Because once this thing called karmam has gone inside the head, then no point in talking about spiritual realization. It will not work. It will not get in. Unless we withdraw from this world of karmam, karmam is not helpful in that aspect. Tattvam, when we talk about all these spiritual values and spiritual principles, reason it doesn't enter inside is because of this karmadhi inside. Continuously busy in karmam. Karmam in this world. So, therefore, even for jnanis, Brahma was a jnananishta before, isn't it? He was in jnanam, knowledge, highest knowledge from the supreme spiritual master, Krishna got it. From Krishna he has got it. And now he has fallen into this situation. He is the first jnani in this world, realized the soul. So, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to him first time. But, as soon as he decided that he has to execute karmam, then after that, instructing him on spiritual life will not have any effect. Will not have any effect. Because Brahma has taken his attention from Chaitanyam, from the living force, towards his attention has gone to karmam. His attention has gone to karmam. So this example is also to point out to us that if you are really serious about, genuinely serious about spiritual realization, attention has to move from karmam to Chaitanyam, to the living force. Our attention, so long as it is focused on karmam and activity, realization won't come. Realization won't happen. That is why 40 years, 50 years in the spiritual life, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. And then we are saying, is my guru properly done? Has he given me the initiation properly? Or I am thinking that, is the system working? Is this process correct? How can you blame the process? Krishna is putting a lot of requirement there. That it is there, saying to us that these things are like this. These are all the subtle side of spiritual life. That as you are, as long as we are karmadhi, the jnanam, the knowledge won't wake up inside. And karmam has to come to an end, therefore karma yogam was given. Chitta Shuddhi, first thing. And if Karma Yoga is executed in good course of time, attachment to karmam, karma vasana will go away, and inside that, karmadhi will go. What Brahma had to go through. So through all these examples, Krishna is pointing out to us this one point, that if you give your attention, that immediately Brahma's attention went in this direction. What did Brahma do? Brahma immediately started looking inwards. He started looking inwards and he realized this, that in karmam, all his senses, mind, intelligence, everything was active while engaging in the creation process. So for a short period of time, Brahma realized there is something wrong in me. He realizes that and he started looking inwards. It was and started thinking about Krishna at that point. Thinking about Krishna. That when he started looking inwards, that is one good quality of Lord Brahma. That when he is in trouble, he will go back to Krishna looking for an answer. Brahma certifies this in the third canto. If you look, Brahma and Narada Samvadam. All Shastram, Vedic literature, is all Samvada form. Samvada means it is discussion between two people. All other scriptures, if you look in the world, is Upadesham, instructions. For us, for Vedic literature, it's always Samvadam. Suda Shaunaga Samvadam. Brahma Narada Samvadam. Vidura Uddhava Samvadam. Vidura Maitreya Samvadam. Krishna Uddhava Samvadam. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but samvadam, isn't it? Discussions between two personalities. So, when Brahma was discussing with Srinarada Maharshi, you remember the three chapters, Brahma spoke to Srinarada Maharshi, the four verses he got from Krishna, he expanded into three chapters and gave into Srinarada Maharshi. That is the third canto begins like that, isn't it? So when he expanded and gave in three chapters to Srinarada Maharshi, Brahma says there, although I am engaged in all these kind of things, when I am in difficulty, I simply go back to inward looking, asking Krishna, what should I do? I go back immediately. That one quality Brahma had, always. Brahma was capable of doing that. Nobody else did that. Brahma was always, only great sages do. Vedavyasa Maharshi did that. When he was in trouble, Vedavyasa Maharshi was thinking what went wrong. That is Andarmukhatvam, looking inwards. So Brahma also did exactly the same thing. At that point, immediately when Brahma was looking for help, Krishna appeared at that point as the Hamsam. He appeared as the Hamsam. And then immediately you can see all the four Kumaras and Brahma immediately paid their obeisances to the Hamsam, to this swan which appeared, and asked them, who are you? Because they have never seen this swan before. So they are asking, who are you? And that is a question you will see in the next. Samama Chindayad Deva, verse 19. Samama Chindayad Deva, Prashna Paraditi Rishayaha, Tasyaham Hamsarubena, Sakashamagamam Tada. He says, Samama Chindayad Deva. Then, when Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna is saying this to now to Uddhava, isn't it? What happened at that time between Brahma and Krishna? That Krishna is now talking to Uddhava. So he's saying here, Samama Chindayad Deva, that thought what has happened at that time, because he wanted an answer for that question, he immediately thought about me, about Krishna, very seriously. Brahma reflected on Krishna inside him, situated. Because it was from inside everything happened to Brahma also, not from outside. Remember, when Brahma was instructed, it didn't happen from outside. Tapattapa was spoken from outside, the two words. And from inside, Brahma started realizing where is this coming from. So all things were happening inside, and then instructions were given to him to execute tapas, austerities. And after many years of execution of penances, he realized where he is situated. In the midst of the lotus flower, he is sitting there and watching that. And Krishna's flute was coming to him in the form of the Gayatri Mantram came to him. All that is in the Bhagavatam, we'll see later. So here also you can see, Brahma immediately looks back. When he is in trouble, he goes inwards, looking, why is it happening? Prasnabhar atitidir shayaham tasyaham hamsarubena sagashamagamam tada. At that time, hamsarubena, in the form of a swan, I came down, he says. Then, drishtvamam ta upavrajya krithva pada bivandanam brahmanam agrada krithva paprachu ko bhavaniti. When I arrived there, all these four Kumaras, and they stood there, and they kept Brahma in front of them, and paid their obeisances to Krishna, who came in this form of a swan, and asked, who am I? Who I am? Asked the swan, who are you? They asked this question. Drishtva mam to upavrajya krithva padabhi vandhanam. Brahmanam agrada krithva paprachu ko bhavanidhi. That's what they did. Paprachu means they asked, ko bhavanidhi, ko bhavan, who are you? They asked. But before they did that, what did they do? Padavi vandhanam. They paid their respects to him and they kept Lord Brahma in the front. They did not go straight away leaving Brahma behind, like we all do, isn't it? They kept Brahma in the front because they did not want to offend Brahma anyway. And only due to Brahma's prayers, Krishna has appeared there. So naturally they follow that road. So keeping Brahma, they ask this question, ko bhavanidhi. Ityaham munibhi prishta tattva jityasubhistada yada vojam aham tebhya uddhava taduddhava nibhodame. Ityaham, Krishna says here, ityaham munibhi prishta tattva jityasubhistada, that these four Kumaras,
Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana, and Sanat Kumara. They are the Munibhi, they are the sages. And Prishnaha, Tattva Jityasa Bhis Tatha, they wanted to know the truth. They wanted to know. Tattva Jityasa means to realize the truth. So they have asked this question. Eda uvacha uvacha maham debhya tad uddhava nibhodame. He says here that when they ask me what I have told them, hear from me. Krishna says to Uddhava, hear from me. Vastuno yadhya nanatvam atmane prasnami idrisha katham ghadedavo vipra vakturvame ka ashrayaha. From now on, Krishna is answering that question. What the four Kumaras have asked, isn't it? Vastudaha almanaha yadi ananatvam tarhi he vipraha. This is the question is answered like this. Krishna is answering that first thing was when Krishna came down, the question was asked, Ko Bhavan, who are you? Isn't it? And Krishna's answer is much more interesting than the question. The question is Ko Bhavan. Ko Bhavan is the question. Krishna's answer is, whom are you talking about? Suppose somebody, you met someone, he asks you, who are you? He says, whom are you talking about? If you ask, what will you say? Either you will leave him and go, or you will do, has gone something wrong with you. Some answer like that, isn't it? So that's why spiritual life is for crazy people. It's only they can practice it. You have to become crazy. Everybody who has come to spiritual life, eventually they've gone crazy. Crazy means, when we say crazy, what does it mean? Actually, from their point of view, we are the ones crazy, the nutters. They are not the nutters, we are the nutters. But unless you become a nutter, you won't understand these things. This is the problem here. And it has happened here with this Brahma's case also, that's what is talked about. We are thinking, oh, I'll have a good material life and one day I'll have spiritual life as well. Never, it will never happen. The moment we are thinking in that way, we can take it, your material life will go well, probably. That is your karma. They'll give you happiness and distress according to its quota allotted to you. But spiritual life, there'll be no progress. Absolutely nothing. It'll stay as it is. So this becoming, this change or acceptance, this is what Bhagavatam is teaching us through all these personalities. Bhagavatam is not telling us because our mind works in a different way. We look through the institution spiritual life. What others are doing in the institution, he has done that preaching, this preaching is going on, that preaching is going on, and he has opened so many temples here, so many temples there. Oh, that means he is making progress, I am not making any progress. That is not what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us. Bhagavatam is telling us, leave behind all that. That whatever you may do, because you have so much vasana to finish up, you have to go and do all these things. That's not going away from you. So you may as well go and build all these temples rather than doing something else. But that is an escape route from your vasana. But important thing here is, Krishna is stressing this point, that the Ko Bhavan, when the question came, Krishna's answer was, Ko Bhavan, who are you asking about? Kada Prasnam, he says here, Ko Bhavan, Krishna's answer was, in the 22nd verse if you look, Vastuno yadhya nanantvam, Altmana prasna meedrisha kadham khadenavo vipra vakturva me ka ashrayaha. He says here that vastudaha altmanaha. See here, whom are you asking? Whom are you talking about? That who are you? You're asking this question, who are you? About whom are you talking about? This is the way Krishna, once when Krishna answered the question, this is how he answered the question. Normally Krishna doesn't answer the question direct. But if ever he answers the question, the answer will be like this. So you can see where the problem is. That Krishna is answering the question. Yeah, you ask the question, who am I? And the answer to that, about whom are you asking? So one way when such questions come is to tell the person who is asking the question that your question itself is wrong. Question itself is wrong. That is the important point here. The question that's coming from the four Kumaras is a wrong question. That is the first thing Krishna says to them. Your question also doesn't make any sense, he says. to Uddhava. So, Vastudaha Atmanaha Yadi Ananatum Tarhi He Vipraha Va I Drisha Prasna Na Katham Khadeda. That is what that verse. Then, see, Vastuno Yadya Nanatum Atmana Prasna Mi Drisha Katham Khadeda Vo Vipra Vakturva Me Ka Ashrayaha. This is the verse. If you make it into a sentence, it is Vastudaha Atmanaha. Vastudaha Atmanaha. Atmanaha means the soul, which is the vastu inside, isn't it? The soul inside. Yadi ananatvam tarhi. That you are started, that there are so many different souls in this creation. You have given as though there are many existing in this world, many, many souls existing in this world. That is called ananatvam. Nanatvam means, nanatvam means diversity. Ananatvam means no diversity. Ananatvam. Ananatvam is the oneness of the soul. He says here that the nature of the soul is ananatvam. And you have given vastudaha atmanaha yadi ananatvam tarhi he vipraha va e drisha prasnaha katham khadeda. How can you justify this question? He's asking. He says here that the khadeda, if there are so many vastu, so many souls present there, only then it makes a sense, he says there. Because there are not many things existing. There is only one thing existing. That is the soul. If there are so many things existing, you can ask me who I am. But there is only one thing existing. That is the soul. So whom are you asking about this? This is the first answer from Krishna to Brahma. Or to the four Kumaras who are present there. That's why he said, Vastudaha Atmanaha Yadi Ananatum Tarhi He Vipraha Va E Drisha Prasna Ha Katham Khadeda. How does it fit in? Your question doesn't make any sense to me. He says, if you are asking this question, that there are so many existing, then you can ask me. Only when many are existing, you have to give a name to each, isn't it? You have to give someone to one name, another person, and then another person, another name. Why? In order to differentiate from one to another. But because there is only the soul that is existing, ananatvam. Nanatvam cannot happen to the soul. So, and if there is only one thing that is left in this world, vastudaha yadi ananatvam atmanaha prasnam katham idrishaha. If there is only one thing that is left in this world, then where is the question? Where is the question? What meaning has it got of your question? So, suddenly the Kumaras came to some realization when he asked this question, and they realized it, they asked a foolish thing. The Kumaras felt at that time that they have asked something which is very, very foolish. Because here they asked Brahma this question. Brahma could not answer that question. And then Krishna has come there, and they raised this question to Krishna. And Krishna is saying to them, your question itself has no meaning. Just by saying that, the four Kumaras immediately sense that there is something wrong in their question. Something wrong in their question. Because if the question is wrong, what is the question of answering the question? It doesn't arise. So, that's why Vajarambha. Vajarambham. It's mere word, Artha. So, it is mere word. It says there, Panjalmageshu Bhudeshu Samaneshu Javastudaha Ko Bhavanidiva Prasno Vajarambo Anarthagaha. Panjalmageshu Bhudeshu Samaneshu Javastadaha Ko Bhavanidiva Prasno Vajarambo Anarthagaha. All these verses requires very, very deeply analyze it and see the mood in which Krishna is saying these things. That Ekadashaskandam, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, Krishna is talking purely from a spiritual position. Uddhava is hearing this purely from a spiritual platform. There is no body there. Neither, not bodily attachment at all, either from Uddhava's side, obviously not from Krishna's side. And that is why those who are in the bodily concept of life, they will try to link everything through the body and will get confused about it. So, that is why in Ekadashi Skandam,
when we are discussing these instructions from Krishna to Uddhava, we have to always stay in that spiritual consciousness where Krishna is coming from. Panjalmageshu bhudeshu samaneshu javastudaha ko bhavan idiva prashno vajarambo anarthagaha. Krishna says that panjalmageshu bhudeshu, all the demigods and human society, all their bodies are made of 5 material elements, made of panjabhaudhikam, isn't it? And material nature is also material elements. Material nature is also material elements. So this question, ko bhavan idiva prashno vajarambo anarthagaha, this question you are asking, ko bhavan, doesn't make any sense to me. Suppose if you say that you are soul, if you accept that, where is this multitude has come from, the soul? This variety, what you are talking, every soul has no name, is there? Suppose if you accept on a spiritual platform, do you give any name to one soul? We don't give any name to a soul, do you? So in other words, soul is one, but even if you call them as, differentiate them as variety of souls, you don't give a name to, you can ask that question, who are you? Suppose we are all individual souls. Somebody asks you, and if you answer from a spiritual platform, what you will say, I am spirit soul, you will say. I will also say the same thing, I am spirit soul. He will say, I am spirit soul. He will say, I am spirit soul. So there also that question has no meaning. Suppose you ask from the bodily level, if you ask who this body is, the answer is, this body of all human species, all the demigods, is made of material elements. It's made of material elements. So because it's made of material elements, and it is the same material elements used in every body, maybe variation may be there in the mixture, but because it's made of material elements, this ko bhavan has no meaning there as well. From the bodily level also, no meaning to that question. That is why Krishna is saying here that panjalpageshu bhudeshu samaneshu cha vastuda. Vastu is made of this panjalpageshu bhudeshu. If his 5 material elements is made of, ko bhavan idi prashno vajarambo anarthagaha. This question, ko bhavan, is from the beginning itself is a nonsensical question. Krishna is saying, vajarambo anarthagaha. It's anartham, it is full of ignorance, he says. It has no meaning, no artham, no meaning at all. It is anartham, he says to the Kumaras. So when the Kumaras have heard this, Krishna is saying there that, that it is this question that has put Kumaras in a trouble. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Guru Srila Prabhupada. Jai.